us return to the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Well, again, we're going to kind of pick up where we left off last week. And last week I kind of talked about, am I speaking to any crackpots out here? But my wife says, Tim, make sure you emphasize cracked pots. I said, honey, I know what I was saying when I said crackpots. I hope they believed it too, but they understood. But it was in the reference to a cracked pot. And we shared a little bit about that, about the cistern, and how we talked in Jeremiah 2:13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken, or they have abandoned me, God, and they've turned away from me, the fountain of living waters. And they have hewn, or they have dug themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. It's kind of like you're spinning your wheels. We dig our own cisterns, and you know, we see the blessings and the magnificence of God. We see the power of God moving us along into some situations that, if it weren't for Him, we would have been lost and died in the desert. But because of Him bringing us through and helping us in so many ways, and then once we get into that place of peace or quietness, or hey, this is pretty good from what I just had, we kind of get very comfortable with that. And we begin to no longer look at God as that God that brought us, or brought me out of a very hurtful, tragic, hard time in my life, because now I'm in that, whatever, promised land in my life of now, and I begin to turn my eyes not so much on God, but I begin to turn my eyes on the things around me, in the materialistic things and the things that I see in life, and I begin to look at those. And all of a sudden, I begin to pay more attention to those blessings of God than understanding that God blessed me with those, but not to get hung up on them. And not to put it all upon that. And sometimes our blessings can really cause us to stumble, just like the children of Israel, if we don't keep our attention and our focus upon the blessing giver. We've got to keep that focus on God, the blessing God. The God of comfort, the God of strength, the God of peace, the God of hope, the God of joy, the God of salvation through that of Jesus Christ. And we can't lay these things that He's given us during our journey aside and get so enthralled with that of the world. And how many here know that a lot of people get enthralled with the world? We really get hooked into the world all of a sudden. Even good Christian people. Can you believe that? Good Jewish people saw the magnificence of God, and then they began to look at other things and have other idols and look at other things with more attention than that of God. And so as we look at this, the fountain of living water is what He provided, and they built themselves cisterns to hold it, but they were cracked. And we went on to look at some things there about the cistern and the reservoir and things of that nature, and what the cistern is used for. And we also wanted to make a look at this that I mentioned last week. Well, what are cisterns? I'm not saying that we've all gone out in your backyard and dug a hole or a place to put a cistern. But let's look at it as we look at it in the natural things of my life and where we're at. But we looked at that as that could be the things of money and power. It could be that of a religious system. Whatever transitory thing that we are placing before God. And a transitory thing is that of a temporary, a brief thing, a passing away thing, fleeting, short-lived. We look at these things and we've got to pay attention to what are we focused on that's not going to be here possibly even by the end of the week. Think of that. We've got to keep our focus upon that of God. Continually, every day, no matter the amount of blessings, and how many here have been blessed by God? Hallelujah. You got a house, you're blessed. You got a car, you're blessed. You got food, you're blessed. I'll tell you what, above all else, if you've got health, guess what? You're blessed. Because without health, you can have a house, you can have a car, you can have all the money in the world. It will not do anything for you like that of what God can do for you. Enjoy it. Be thankful of it. But don't focus upon that. So that was part of that understanding of, is your cistern cracked? looking at ourselves really at where we're at. And we looked at Isaiah 12:3. It's online and you can look at it there or listen to it if you like. Talked about that of the well of salvation, or well of victory being a well of salvation. References to the enjoyment of God's bountiful blessings through the anointed one, David's house, that of Jesus. So anyway, we were talking, and I guess the whole message was formulated from last week to now, was thinking about water. And what started me on that journey was, I was just in John, last week or two back, and reading in John 4, into the Samaritan woman, and they're at the well. And so today I want to look at that, and you know, every one of us has been at a well. Do you remember being at the well? Where were you at in your life when you were at the well? And you heard Jesus say, "Hey, give me a drink." And how many said, "Oh, Jesus, I'm too bad. I don't think you're going to want me. My sin is far beyond, I think, what maybe even your blood can cleanse from me." But here he is, a Jew asking a Samaritan to bring me a cup and give me a cup of water. And she says, what to him? "What are you asking me, a Samaritan?" That's unheard of. And so I was there in John 4, and you can look at that. You know, it talks in John 4, it starts off that, "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, he left Judea," yes, "and departed again to Galilee." And then we get into now he's gone, and it's about about noon, there about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, verse 7. And Jesus says to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And then we go into that whole preface of what Jesus is saying. "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you," what? "Living water." We are all benefactors of that living water if you've received Jesus Christ as what? Your Lord and Savior. Inside of you, a well has sprung up, hopefully. And we want to have it a fountain. And we'll find that in some other scriptures here. But as we looked at John, in the Amplified, Jesus answered her and says this, "If you knew about God's gift of eternal life and who it is who says, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him instead, and he would have given you living water," or that of eternal life. The thing to look at and understand is, we are looking at this in the wrong light if we're looking at it just in the physical. Because these things of this world will, for us, one day, what? Pass away. We are looking at something that is much more important, much more beneficial, and that is, where will you spend eternity after you breathe your last breath upon this earth? And that's what it's all about going out and sharing the good news. That's what's about going out and building relationships with people. If it's just building a relationship with one person, and sharing the story of salvation and what Jesus is all about this water, and you're thirsty now, and I can give you this cup of water, my friend. But I've got something else that I can give you that's a water of everlasting water. And they might want to know about that, and we'd be able to share about that. Because what really matters in this life is what's going to happen to your eternal life. Whether you're rich or famous or wealthy or poor on this side of heaven, it doesn't measure up to anything to what happens after you go from here to that next life of heaven or hell. The choice is ours, and we have all made those choices. Now, we see in our population that people make some dumb choices, don't they? Every day, look at the news. Look at the news every day. People, you can read where people have made some stupid choices. And there's ramifications that have to play off of that. And there will be those ramifications. And so we have those times of making choices. We make a choice to get up in the morning. We make a choice of how we're going to take on the day. You either get up and you go, "Oh, great, it's Tuesday. Oh, great, it's going to be another terrible day at work." You have just said and spoke, that's what it's going to be. And we have got to come with an understanding. It's Tuesday. I've got another opportunity to share something of love, of the light of Christ, to someone or something around me. And to be an example out there in the highways and the byways. And if it's just for one person, don't count that as a discount, because wasn't it just one person that spoke into the life of Billy Graham as a Sunday school teacher? Think of that. Wow. You talk to that person afterwards, well, all it was is just changed one person's life. Whoopee. But look at what that person did, because of the plan and the purpose that God had planned and all that. That person's life crossed his life at the right time. Our paths, I've always said this, our paths are crossing other people's paths for a purpose and a reason. Sometimes that purpose and a reason is for us, but I also believe a lot of it probably is for the purpose and the plan for that person. Because God has us on this journey of sharing this living water, this fountain that is bubbling within us, that of the Holy Spirit, is when you get into, I think, chapter 7, Jesus talks about that. But it's the Holy Spirit in us that's a fountain, it's bubbling, that we go and we share. And that's why we always talk about, fill me up, Lord, fill me up. And we go back and get a continuing filling. And you know what's really good about that is that you don't have to go to church to get the filling. Isn't that awesome? Boy, think of how the church could, corner the market on that. If it's like, okay, go out today, guys, and give out and pour yourself out, and then Tuesday, come back, and we will fill you up here at the altar. Not that you don't get filled up at the altar. You get filled up out in your seats. You get filled up driving your car down the highway. You get filled up wherever you're at when you ask, oh, Lord, fill me up with more of you. Amen? Isn't that awesome that it's everywhere? It's just not in a church building. Why we are the church. That's why the church has two legs. Isn't that awesome? But we are the church. And so we go out. And we share. And we show. And we love. And we try to, as best as we can, be that of Christ. And it's hard. Why? Maybe it's just me. But I find I still got a lot of flesh in me. Has anybody else got some flesh in you? Your own human ways of what you think? I mean, as much as I try to stay close to God and keep him in my spirit and keep hearing from him, this guy does make some crazy decisions or comments at times that it's like, oh my gosh, that was not probably very that of loving of God. But thank God for the Holy Spirit in me, because that's when I sense that I can say, oh, Father God, forgive me. I'm sorry. I didn't represent you well. But the thing is that we're finding here, whether it be in the Old Testament about wells of salvation and deep wells that God has given and God has and God can do that water. We speak of that, and it comes by that of a well, it comes by that of a river, it comes by that of a fountain. I don't think I've ever read anything in the scriptures that says the pond of God. Let the pond of God flow out of you. It's something about living waters. It's something about waters that continually turn over, that continually go out, that continually bring in and go out and bring in, because we all know what happens when water gets stagnated. Don't we, you know? Besides mosquitoes starting to grow in there and lay eggs, and it starts getting film on it, and it gets to be, it's really not good for anything. And I think a lot of times, sometimes we get into that flow of God with God's water and the flow of the living water, and all of a sudden we get to that point and we just stop wherever we think we want to stop, because it seems like this is a good place to stop with God. And we begin to pond. We begin to pool water. But then we're not allowing it to go out. And when we can't allow that water to go out, because he's put that well in you, he's put that fountain in you, not just for you, but who? For others. To go out and to share and to go out and be light and to go out, show love. And so this is that water, this is that well within us. So as we begin to look at these things, there's always a spiritual aspect correlated to a physical Because that's how, you know, the parables that Jesus spoke about is always taking something spiritual and putting it into something of the day that which you can understand that. So many spiritual functions are parallel on our physical functions. If we look at our bodies and how they hunger and thirst, so do our souls. Just as we feed the physical requirements of the body to keep it functioning, that same can be said for our souls' need of spiritual food and water. If we know that we need to feed the physical need of our body, why would we not believe the same for the spiritual? The living word, Jesus, and the written word, the Bible, will satisfy our hunger and thirst that we experience in our soul. And we're all good at being able to keep our physical needs met of water, filled with water. Go and look at the body. What happens if you don't keep enough water in your body? Everything starts happening, you know? You know, it's good for your blood, it's good for your kidneys, it's good for your liver, it's good for your heart, good for your lungs. You look at it today, I just briefly at home was looking about that, and it's like, you know, without even enough water, your brain starts thinking about things. That's why when you're out in the desert, anybody ever see like a Western, you know, especially a Western, and they're out in the desert, and they're parched, they haven't had water for how many days, you know, and they begin to see things. A mirage. There's palm trees. There's a lake over there. That's because the brain is being starved for liquid from nutrition of that of water, and the brain is starting to kind of go a little crazy. In the physical, our bodies need that water daily to continue to function properly, to keep us functioning the way we should. Why would we not think or believe that asking and receiving and asking for more of the spiritual water that God has to continually to pour in us by that to keep our spirit refreshed? Have you ever felt your spirit get kind of dry? And sometimes it happens because you get pulled on a lot. You're sharing a lot about God. You're going through tragic things with individuals, and that's actually pulling your spiritual out of you because your intense prayer for that need of that person going through a very hard time, or we hear some very tragic things, and we pray and we lift them up to God. After about 2 or 3 days of that, guess what? You could become almost spiritually kind of getting dry. It's like, oh, Lord, because He says, pour out, pour out. And we got to say, Lord, I need to have more of you pouring into me. How do I do that? Time with Him, meditate with Him, prayer with Him, separate yourself from the things of this world, read Scripture, just be within Him. If nothing else, just find a time to sit and be still and just ask, oh God, fill me again with this water. I don't need the living water per se because my salvation, that was happened back when I received Jesus Christ, the living water, but I need the fountain of you in me to be poured into me, Lord, so that I can be pouring out more to those around me. In Psalms 42:1, it talks about that of a deer pants long for water. My soul pants for you, O Lord. The heading, and I'm not whether I turn back or not, but the heading in my Bible says it's a yearning for God in the midst of distress. As a deer panteth for water. How many of you have been in distress this last week, last month, last year? You name it. Last quarter. You know, all of us have different stress things that we've dealt with. And it's almost like that deer panteth for water. Well, when we come into that stressful time, even in our walks and days of today, make sure you're going back to that of God. And as a deer panteth for water, at that stream, allow yourself to go back to that stream that God has for you. And for us, that stream is the Holy Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to be refilled and to have that water, that flowing, that fountain come back to you. In Zechariah 13:1, it says, it speaks of a fountain shall be opened up for sin and uncleanliness. Sin is, in the basic nature of sin, is missing the mark. You've missed the mark of what God has. So that sin can be of anything, but you've missed the mark. But we know that we have the cleansing blood of Jesus to cleanse us of our sins. And it's an ongoing, once and done, it's not just that. It's throughout your life as you sin again. Because of sin is not just turning your back on God. Sin is gossiping. Sin is bad words to somebody. Sin is if you hate somebody. You know, sin is sin. As much as it is with that of the moralities of our nation and what our nation has been slowly degrading of what sin is. I've said this before. I'm not as concerned with our nation degrading what sin is. I'm more concerned with our churches that are out there that no longer stand for the moralities of what God's Word speaks about, and that we begin to kind of sugarcoat it, and we just kind of willy-nilly say, well, this or that, whatever we say that makes us feel better about being disrespectful to God's Word. Because God's Word says it changes not. And so my concern is where our churches stand. My concern is I, as a pastor, I've got to keep myself in line with that of God. I've got to be careful that I don't step over into that kind of a fluid area there of wanting to say, well, I can see that is sin, but that's not quite as bad, so that's okay to a point. That's not so, you know, where we start picking and choosing. Because when we start picking and choosing what we think God calls sin, then we've gone away from what His Word says, and I don't think God is going to be so happy about that. And so as we've learned God's Word, and as we hear God's Word by that of the Spirit speaking to us, speaking it from the pulpit, reading it for ourselves, we should become enlightened to that. But the whole thing of sin, the speaks of the fountain shall be opened up for sin, missing the mark, or uncleanliness, that of rituals or sexual impurity back in those times. But God's water, that fountain, shall be opened up. And there's hope for all of us. There's hope for those that are lost still out in this world. Amen? And so we still have time. We still have that opportunity be presented to before us to go out and to share this living water. And to realize that what they're looking for, they may think it's going to be okay, but it's a temporal fix. What we want to give them is an eternity fix. We want to share that love and that hope and that what God has for them, the same He has for me. None of us are any better than anybody else, right? And anybody out there, they're no better than anybody else. I don't care if they're politically whoever. I don't care if they're movie stars, whoever. I don't care if they're rock stars. I don't care if they're money or their social economic scale or whatever the case is. Because we have heard over and over of those that have arrived in the material things, right? Was it Cyndi Lauper or something like that had a song out there, something like the material world? Yeah, there's a real thing out there, a material world. But then you find those that have everything under the sun that they want, cars and mansions and vacations all over, houses all over the place, and you really get into a conversation with them, generally they'll always come back to the point of saying, but I am not fulfilled. There's something in me that I just feel there's a void. And I would tend to believe a lot of that void is that void that's in there that they don't have that of God in them. There's that part of God that God puts in all of us, and some of us find it and fill it, and others, we kind of put it back and we hold on to it, or we say, I want to do what I want to do now because I'm young and I want to have fun, and I want to accumulate this, and I got to raise it through the ranks of my employer, so I've got whatever. And then we get to those points, and they still say, but now I've got everything, but I still feel a hole inside of me. Oh, that hole is that void of your void of God in your life. That little bit of God's DNA that's in you that He's put there. And that's why when we pray for people, I always pray, Lord, by Your Spirit, open up their spirit to hear what I'm about to share that You want me to share with them. And so that they're ready to begin to receive that. Because it ain't going to work with Tim coming with a baseball bat, hanging him over the head, or banging him on the head, saying, this is what you need, and you're going to love it. It's to go there to share what the Spirit has put into you, to share to them for their situation and circumstance. Could be that of a word of knowledge that you never met him before, but the Spirit of God pours that into you. You share that to them. It gets their attention, and now they're open. And now God says, just share about my love I have for them. Let them know I've seen them in their struggles. Let them know that I care for them and that it's not too late for them to come to me. We don't know where all that goes, do we? But it's just to be aware and alert to the things of God. It's to be that place that God can pour things in. And let's go there before we get sidetracked here. John 7, 38, 37. Let's see, John. So in John 7, verse 37 starts, and in my Bible it's already looking at that. It's a promise of the Holy Spirit. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried out, says this, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink." It's sad to think we have people out in our society, and there could be even people in our churches that are struggling. I don't know, but it just says here, "Let him come to me and drink." Many times we go to church, but we don't drink. The Christian, we come into church and we have a song service and we do this and we read the Bible, we do this, and for some reason we put the brakes on when we start talking about the power of the Holy Spirit and the purpose of the Holy Spirit and what the purpose is and what you need and why you need the workings of the Holy Spirit in you. This is because Jesus is speaking it right here. "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink, and he who believes in me, as the Scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus had not been glorified. But Jesus is telling, he's telling his disciples, he's telling the people around him, get ready. He was telling them ahead of time, "I am going to die. You know, this temple is going to be destroyed." Well, they were thinking it was a big temple building. They didn't realize it was a body, and Jesus was calling him a body is a temple, and we can get into all of that. But even Jesus talking to his own disciples, there was misunderstandings of what is he prefacing? What's he saying? It's something that I don't quite understand. And he could explain it over and over and over, but their mind was just set on this thought, and it's like, this doesn't make sense. And so as we begin to receive these things, and he starts talking about this Holy Spirit that you're going to, "I must go. I must go so that he can come to lead you." When I read that several times over years and years back, it made me understand more, and I said, I've got to find out more of what? The Holy Spirit. And about the time you think you understand the Holy Spirit, something else comes up and it's a new thing. It's just like that of God. When we think we understand those things of God, "I've got it down. I've been studying His Word for 30 years. I've got it down." And we come through a scripture or something and we read it again and it enlightens us a little differently and we go, wait a minute, maybe it was meaning this and not what I interjected it to mean. And that's that area of rhema and logos. That's why the rhema word. Not every scripture that I have read in the Bible has jumped off of the page and leapt into my spirit. Has it for you? There's many, 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 many verses that I've read that are just verses that are good. I love reading them. But it's those ones and twos here and there that all of a sudden, out of a chapter, out of whatever, it's just boom. It's for that divine time that I believe that as God is sharing and I'm reading His Word and all of a sudden my spirit and the Spirit and the Holy Spirit, this speaks into my life and where I'm at this time. And when that happens, there's such a power within you that it solidifies any questions or anything that you're asking God about, because all of a sudden it's like, ah, I've got it. Is this what you've been meaning for the last 3 months, God? 6 months? 2 years of what I'm going through? Whatever the case is this what it has come down to? Is this? And I finally have it. I think Kyle Eidelman out there has a study out there, the aha moment. Anybody ever been there like, aha, now I've got it? So we don't give up on growing and learning and reading and developing with that of God, no matter how long you've been in it, no matter how much you think you understand the Word of God. It's just like all of a sudden something new will just come off of those pages into your spirit, and it's like it's eye-opening. It's like, it's wow. And if you ever have those moments, you'll always remember them. There are those times in your Christian walk that I don't have to have a calendar, but I kind of know kind of like where I was at in life and what place I was at when reading the Bible, and something hit me like, wow, that's it. But it says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. So as a church, we've got to be open to that of the Holy Spirit. We've got to be continuing looking at, continuing to fill. Let's see here what it says. Verse 38, and he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, here we go, will flow those rivers of living water. Those who are satisfied by Jesus will themselves become channels of spiritual refreshment for others. The figure of rivers is contrasted that with a fountain. That's illustrating the difference between one's new birth and one's experience of the overflowing fullness of the Spirit-filled life. Out of the heart will flow rivers of living water. And I'm going to tell you, to survive on this side of heaven, whether it's in 2020, 2019, 2021, 2022, look ahead, you're going to need the flow of the river from heaven flowing into you. Amen? Oh my goodness, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You're going to have that assurity and that peace, because it's only out of that that we can have peace and comfort and joy and all the things we talked about at Advent, right? We talked about the advent of hope and joy and peace, love. It's only through that that you're going to be able to maintain those things of God. Because the world, we talked about it, the world wants to draw out your peace. And the world will take peace and they will say, here, have anxiety. That's for you. Oh, you got joy. Hey, the world, hey, I got doom and gloom. Let me have your joy. Here's some doom and gloom. We always find the trade-off of what the world has, what the God has, or what the heavens have, you know, God of heaven, it's totally different. And I'm going to tell you, that what God has is a lot better. It's a lot better. And we're going to need that in these days. Amen. And we'll always need them. We will always need them. So getting back, it's just kind of like bringing us down. We shared a lot on last Sunday, and then this is kind of like talking about the well and Jesus at the well in the water and how God talked about that in the Old Testament and things of that nature and then into the New Testament. But I'm going to encourage you to stay close to that river. Walk in the river. You might want to put your toe in it for a little bit, but then just launch out into the river of God. Amen? Allow that to happen, and you will not be discouraged. You will not be sorrowful that you did. Even in your times of discouragement, you will find opportunities to have a strength and a joy to take you past those times. Have that fountain continually flowing in you to flow out so that you don't become stagnant. I wonder sometimes if we don't have a lot of stagnant churches. Stagnant pastors, stagnant people of God, you know, because we just hold all this stuff in. And he's given us a mandate. He's given us something to go. Didn't he say, go? Go out. Go out. And share this goodness. Share this good news that people need to hear, just like you heard and you received. It is vital that we keep ourselves refreshed with living water, to do all that is in our power to make sure that we're not missing the filling of his water due to our attention being directed to this world and the temptations that it throws at us. There are so many temptations out there. There have always been temptations, right? Seems like there's more today than any time before, but who knows what the temptations will be next week or the next decade. I don't know if the Lord should tarry. But it's always going to be something out there that's going to try to take away our focus on God and to focus on these things. And I don't want him to look at Tim and say, Tim, your cistern was cracked. You were losing everything that I was putting into you because of looking. Now, there's a difference between this stuff just seeping out of a cracked cistern than being a vessel filled so that I can pour out. But it's one thing to be a cistern that's cracked, that as good water is going in to be used for another purpose, it's being leached out into the ground. Oh, Father. You still go out in the country, even in cities now, because of the price of water, they have barrels by their downspouts, don't they? They're gutter downspouts. And they got water going into this thing because they use that water to water their flowers, water their garden. So that barrel has got to be watertight so that it doesn't leak out. If that's the case, then every time they go to the barrel to get water for their garden, there'd be nothing there. I think it's like that with, this is just for me. This is what God was showing me. Whether he shows you this or not, I don't know. But when I start looking at this and a few weeks back and just focusing and asking about the cistern and cracked, it's like God says, I'm pouring my goodness into you, but it's being leached out into the ground, into the world, not for the good, though. You're not bringing anybody to Christ. You're not sharing the love. You're not flowing the good water out. It's just going into you, Tim, and it's just leaching out because you're not focused on me. You're not staying under the spout. I encourage you to stay under his spout and allow that river to flow in you continually. Ask for the refreshing of him. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to pray an opportunity here to just receive that of more of the filling of God. Amen. More of the flow, the living water. Remember, the living water came into my life and your life, I'm sure, as salvation came into your life. If you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the living water is there. I'm looking at the continuing flow as well. And to be refilled, replenished. Hallelujah, Lord! And if we need the river of God, if we need the flow of the fountain in us, it's that same thing that it does for the material or the physical of our body. It keeps us going. It keeps us juiced to be able to serve and to not to be dried out. Anybody ever seen a dried out Christian? Hallelujah. So I'm going to pray just for a pouring of his spirit, pouring of his fountain upon us. If you would like some, you can raise your hand or just sit there or just, if you feel the spigot coming by, just say, hey, drop it off here, but I'm just going to ask the Lord to fill us, Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I love you, Father God. I thank you for this day and I thank you for this time. Lord, that we're not here by that of chance or by accident. That, Father God, right now, the message that has been spoken, and as we've looked at the last couple of weeks of your water, the wells of your water, the river of your water, the fountain of your water, oh, hallelujah, Lord, I just come to you today. And for us here today that wanted, Lord, I just say, oh, hallelujah, would you refill us? Fill us to overflowing, Father. We need that spiritual fountain within us, Lord. Regenerate us and reinvigorate us, Lord, by that of the fountain of you, Lord God. Bring it in, Lord. Fill us up, Lord. I would pray that we would, when we walk out of here, we would be kind of like sloshing as we go out the carpet, Lord, that we are just overflowed with your water in us. And it's not to keep. It's not to hoard. It's not for just us, but it's to go out and to be an example of those around us and to share and to show your love and concern for everybody out there, Lord God. And I just thank you for that right now, for the filling and continuing filling throughout this week of that of the Holy Spirit, the fountain, living water is coming out of us, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. May we never run dry. May we never turn from you. May we never forget, Lord, to continually ask to be replenished by that of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. As you go, you're giving. There's a basket there. Feel free to